Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Well, with the Lord's help, we're going to conclude a message I entitled A Resolution for the New Year, and that was based on a passage of Scripture found in the book of Psalms 37 and 4, which declare, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." I don't know if we could find one better than that. Amen? And so, as we have shared this week, understanding that God's promises are beautiful and wonderful, but they all have conditions, and He'll grant us the desires of our heart in whatever realm that would be, spiritually, physically, if we will delight ourselves in Him. And so I thought it was important to find out what the Word has to say about how do we delight ourselves? What does that mean? And there are three areas that I found. One is repentance and reconciliation to God. That's the first one, and I gave scriptures to share where that is found. And secondly, to love and honor God's Word. And again, I gave a number of scriptures as far as this is important. If we will delight ourselves in God, we will love and honor His Word. And then lastly, a key scripture was found in Isaiah 58. We delight ourselves in God by laying aside our will and seeking His. And in that 58th chapter, we looked at verses 13 through 14. It mentions three things: turning away from doing our pleasure, calling the Sabbath a delight, and honoring the Lord. And so what we want to do is to understand, we were looking at calling the Sabbath a delight as we concluded the broadcast yesterday, and I just wanted to mention we are in a new covenant, and we are not under the strict requirements of the Mosaic Law. We're under a new covenant with better promises, and every day is holy unto the Lord. Now, I do believe God does want us to fellowship together. The New Testament's very clear on that. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. But Paul, as you read the epistles of Paul, the more I grow in the Lord, the more I learn to just love this man because of what he endured. And there are so many Christians today that get so hung up and caught up on things that just really cause strife and division. You know, should we worship on Sunday? Should we worship on Saturday? Shabbat? You know, and the point is, Paul was saying we have been called to liberty and that every man must do as his conscience decrees. Well, I'm going to be good. I'm not going to go off into that because we're focused on a subject here, and that is of delighting ourselves in the Lord. And so the same blessings that were promised for faithful adherence to the Old Testament, Sabbath, for example, they will apply to those who faithfully and regularly worship God in private devotions, as well as gathering together for public worship in the congregation of the Lord. Let me share a couple scriptures. Psalm 84 and 2 says, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." And then this beautiful passage I've always loved and made it my request of the Lord. Psalm 27 and 4 says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." And again, referencing that passage in Isaiah, we should honor God. And how do we do this? Well, Isaiah 58 and 13 says, "And shalt honor Him by not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words." Not doing thine own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure. Well, Isaiah, he has so much to tell us, doesn't he? But in Isaiah 55 and 8, The Lord speaking prophetically, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we must seek the way and the will of the Lord. And then it says, "Not speaking thine own words." Isaiah 59 and 13 says, "Our transgressions are multiplied before thee." And he goes on to enumerate them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. So we delight ourselves in the Lord, beloved, by right standing with him, by honoring and obeying his word, by laying aside our will and seeking his. The Amplified translation of that verse says, Psalm 37 and 4, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires or in secret petitions of your heart." So if we delight ourselves in the Lord, not only will he give us the desires of our heart, but there's more besides. Would you like me to share those with you? I've got some scripture. We'll experience divine comfort. How's that? That sounds good, doesn't it? Psalm 94 and 19 says, "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." Praise God. And we will experience divine fellowship and communion with God. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 3, the word says, "As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste." That, of course, is talking about the wonderful experience we can have in the presence of God. There's nothing like his anointing. There's nothing like the presence of God. In fact, to me, that's, you know, what can be more wonderful? Thy loving kindness is better than life. Isn't that what the psalmist said? Thy loving kindness is better than life. Knowing God, having a relationship with him, feeling his presence, being assured of his love, experiencing his grace, knowing his protection, abiding within his peace and his rest. What is more wonderful and more glorious than that? It's literally heaven on earth, and it's just a foretaste of the joys that we will share forever and ever as his people. And there's a third thing. I'm still not done. We'll experience God's goodness. So listen to this. He not only gives us the desires of our heart, we'll experience divine comfort, we'll experience divine fellowship and communion with God, and we will experience God's goodness. Yes, is that wonderful or what? Nehemiah 9:25. Listen to this scripture. And this was speaking of the prosperity of God's people in the promised land. And of course, Joshua brought God's people into literal Canaan, into their literal promised land. But for us as Christians, we also have our Canaan is the promises of God's word, the abundant life that Jesus spoke of. He came to give us life, praise God, eternal life, but not just relegating our future destination to be with him, but abundant life now. He cares about our life right now, meeting all of our needs according to his riches and glory. So Nehemiah 9 and 25 says, and that speaks of, as I said, God's prosperity to his people in the promised land. It declares, "And they took strong cities and a fat land and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards and olive yards and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness." Praise God. You know, I was just thinking as I read that. It's been a little bit of time here now since I have moved from California to Idaho, and the Lord has given me just a little under 3 acres in the country. And I thought, oh, this is wonderful. You know, there's not a lot of work. Well, you'd better keep the weeds up or they will be giants, truly. However, the former owners, a husband and wife and his family, they did a lot of work. They planted a lot of trees. They developed an irrigation system to water those trees, the evergreens mostly, and some few fruit trees. And so there was a lot of work done here that I didn't have to do. And I'm looking now, as I've gotten more used to country living and all that's involved with a well and a septic and keeping up the property, that they had a massive amount of work to do. Well, I'm just relating now in a very personal way, but for God's people, what did I just share? It says they took strong cities. They possessed houses that were already built. They didn't have to dig the wells. Now, they were doing it by hand. Don't you think that was work? They didn't have to plant vineyards or olive yards and fruit trees. You know, you can plant them by seeds. You got to wait many years before they'll even bear fruit. So God gave them. They didn't even have to work for it. It was already for them. And so, beloved, there's a spiritual analogy to you and me as Christians. We can enter into the promised land of God's word. And what we must, God forbid, not allow the enemy to bring against us is murmuring and unbelief. We want to be like Joshua and Caleb to say, we are well able to take the land. They weren't blind. They saw the giants, but they knew God had good things for them. So, beloved, that's the message I had to share with you. We delight ourselves in the Lord by right standing with God, honoring and obeying His word, laying aside our will, seeking His, and if we will do that, He will give us the desires of our heart. Let's make this a priority in this new year. And I'd like to close with Philippians 3:13. Again, very appropriate for this time of year. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, that's our prayer. Grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,